Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
I have a very special guest joining us, and if you're an NFL fan, you'll know him very well. His name is James Brown, or as most would call him, JB. James Brown is the current host of the NFL Today on CBS and Inside the NFL on Showtime. A three-time Emmy Award-winning network broadcaster, Brown was elected into the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame in August of 2020, has hosted the Super Bowl a record-setting 10 times, including Super Bowl 55 on CBS, and in 2010, Sports Illustrated named Brown the best studio host of the decade. Brown is a special correspondent for CBS News and contributes to programs such as 60 Minutes, CBS This Morning, CBS Evening News, and 48 Hours. Today, we're going to be talking all things football, faith, and family. James Brown, or JB, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Zach, thank you so very much for having me on. You guys handle difficulties very well.
JB, let me tell you this. The wait is over for us NFL fans. Preseason is officially among us. Fall's right around the corner. If you're a diehard football fan like myself, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So your work with the great, you know, Cowher and the great Bradshaw, that is a little jealous for me. But I'm so grateful for the work that you do. Feels like Christmas is coming early, though, watching football again. For you, this is a season, though, that you're really ramping up your schedule. I'm sure things are getting busy.
It kind of reminds me of 200 years ago when I was in college getting ready for the exam 2-week period upcoming where I'm delving into all of the information, trying to distill what are the big storylines going into the season. You mentioned my Hall of Fame colleague, Coach Bill Cowher. Look, the bottom line is he sets the tone. Not only was he a player, obviously a Super Bowl winning coach in the Hall of Fame. So we take our cue from him. He is fired up. And Zach, right before I talk with you, he called to make certain that I was on board with what the season is looking like and the kind of thoughts that he has. So many things like, gosh, the young quarterbacks. We know it's a quarterback-driven yes. league. We've got some excellent, bright names who are coming into the league right now, the top two quarterbacks drafted. But he said it's also a season where some of the veteran names have got to prove themselves, like, if you will, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson and the like. So we're looking forward to seeing what those guys can do. Player safety being a concern. So there's so much on the plate right now. We just want to make certain that we don't just overload people with too much and take it in bits and pieces.
I tell you what, JB, it's like I know you because I watch you every Sunday. So hearing you, just your analysis of the upcoming season, it's exciting for me personally. I got to ask, though, you've covered some of the biggest games in NFL history, a number of Super Bowls, a record-setting amount, as I mentioned. Do any particular games, though, stick out to you that are etched in your memory?
Wow. You know what? And you probably are one who has a good recall of all of the history-making particulars. I'm more focused on the theme, how things played out in the game. And, you know, gosh, just with the Super Bowl that we did previously in Las Vegas, here's a guy who didn't play the game, despite the size and girth. You know, basketball was my strength. But I follow it from an athlete and coach's perspective to see how things played out. I think about the great Reggie White, God bless him, and in pursuit of a Super Bowl, and Green Bay finally getting it done, and Reggie running around the field with the Super Bowl trophy held high. I think about clearly the unbelievable streak that the New England Patriots put together. Look, I'm a native, as you already know, of the District, Maryland, and Virginia here in the Washington, D.C. era. I think about the great years of Joe Gibbs and winning 3 Super Bowls. So it all kind of melds into one. John Madden had such an influence on me, God bless him, to say and focus on the game is the thing. And each season, let's see how it plays out. Even when people tried to ask him, John, so who's the favorite coming into the season? Who do you think is going to win it? And he says, you know what? My attitude has always been, until the defending champion is dethroned, they are the ones to be respected no matter what that roster looks like. They've got a culture in place, and clearly that's been the story with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, what's unique about you, JB, is not only have you called some of the greatest games, but you've had an opportunity of interacting with, and you have a unique perspective on some of the NFL greats, right, that have played on the biggest stages throughout the years. I think most recently of guys who have retired like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and more. JB, you, like you mentioned, are a fierce competitor of your own. You played basketball at the highest level. We'll get to that in a little bit in your testimony here in a few moments. But I'm interested up front, from your perspective, what is it that really separates guys from the rest of the pack? Like, what are some of the qualities or the characteristics that help people rise above and become some of the greatest, not just players, but leaders of all time?
Well, and mentioning the three names that you did, the iconic names that you just did, what they share with those who in any sport, there is something that absolutely sets them apart. And it is an attitude. It is one of perfection. It is how they don't see the work that one has to put in is drudgery. It's necessary. I think about when I worked in corporate America, and there is, if you will, a relationship between that which drives success in the corporate environment and that which athletes can uniquely say is theirs. You cannot expect what you don't inspect. So you need to examine with particularity and granularity, what are you doing? How am I improving? Where's my weakness? What am I doing to overcome that? Just as in the world of football, Bill Cowher talks about how coaches will go through the first four games. Yes, you're always focused on breaking down film, although, of course, it's video, of the opponent that's upcoming to look at tendencies and habits. But what's also critically important is to do the self-examination. What are we doing that's creating tendencies and habits that we need to make certain that we're not telegraphing those things as well too. So that's what separates the great ones from that. LeBron James, Katie Ledecky in swimming, what she's been doing, but there is an enthusiasm. Tom Brady was sitting in the stands watching it, have an appreciation for the Simone Biles of the world, or McLaughlin Lavrone on the track and field. There is an enthusiasm that they have that John Madden used to say, if you're thinking about retiring, you're already retired. You've got to have a passion for what you're doing, and that is going to fuel all of the hard work and the improvement in microcosm to get better to compete at that level. Does that make sense, Zach?
Absolutely, JB. I love that phrase. You cannot expect what you do not inspect. It's about that continual pursuit. It's about the consistency that you're bringing, not just to the game, but to everyday life. So I think this is a thing I want to touch on here. You and I share a common passion and enthusiasm for sports. And in a world that seems to be quite divided in such a time as this, sports brings a sense of unification where we feel unified through things like the Olympics. We feel unified in cheering for the same sports teams and going to Super Bowls and big events like this. What is it, JB, about sports that unifies us all?
Hey, Zach, what a great question. Thank you very much. And you notice even the drop in tone, because it does grieve me as a born-again believer to see the level of division that exists in society across the globe. You know, it seems like that the chasm between people is much wider. It's much deeper. And what we're witnessing on a daily basis is not people speaking with each other to find common ground. We're seeing people spew vitriol at each other, only deepening the divide. The world of sports, forever and a day, it seems, going back to the gladiator days, sports has been like a platform, if you will, where you've got people from across the spectrum, socioeconomic, racial, cultural, whatever, blended together with one common goal to win. I think about the scripture that embellishes that in Ephesians 4:16. Every joint supplies, people bringing whatever gifts God has given them to the table for the fervent, effectual working of the whole body. It only works if we're working together using the gifts and skill sets that God has given uniquely to each one. The little finger in the example used in the Bible of the body, how every part, plays a significant part. The little finger plays as significant a role as your kneecap or your feet. I remember hearing the pastor one time to say, if you don't think your little finger plays a significant role, after church, I want you to go out to your car, open up your car door, stick your finger in the door jamb, and slam that car door on your finger. It'll take a nanosecond before you'll start biting your lips because of the pain that's rushing through your body. Your feet will get involved. You'll start jumping up and down. Your tear ducts will get involved. You'll start crying. Every joint supplies. So in the world of sports, we have thankfully been like a platform along which we have moved the social needle forward, where people will cheer everybody who is competing in a team sport or whatever as reflective of what can be in society as well. But you know, as believers, we root that in what God says in His Word. The fundamental and most important element first is there's got to be love. Love conquers all.
Amen, JB. I love that. You said every joint supplies and love ultimately is what conquers all. We're going to dive into your testimony now, right? We started current. I want to hit the rewind button here for a second. And I want to go back to what JB's upbringing was like. Tell me a little bit about your family and really tell me, because we mentioned that you got into the game of basketball. When was it that you fell in love with that game yourself?
Wow. Probably didn't fall in love with it until it became apparent that my first love, baseball, yeah. I was probably not going to go very far in it. Hey, Zach, I played CYO, Catholic Youth Organization. I was Catholic for a period of time. I am a non-denominational Christian now, but I played CYO baseball. And so I was doing pretty well, hitting home runs. I was along, despite this fluctuating size and girth that you've seen with me over the years. Baseball was my love. I looked like a uniform that was hung on a hanger, as skinny as I was then with my uniform draped off of me, and started having some degree of success in baseball as we got to the playoffs with coaches helping me to execute batting principles better, and I was hitting home runs. But we had a blonde-haired, blue-eyed pitcher, good friend of mine by the name of Steve Garrett. Oh my gosh, the best, one of the best athletes I've ever played with. This guy had an array of pitches and a wicked curveball that I knew when I was standing in the batter's box doing one practice, and he threw this wicked curveball. And I, of course, all of this took place in a nanosecond, but I'm thinking through my head, oh yeah, that's his curveball. Okay, just stand in the batter's box, JB. That curveball is going to break in a second. Hey, this is a slow breaking curveball, but don't worry. Hang in there. It's going to break in a second. Hey, wait a minute. This curveball is not going to break. I dropped down into the dirt, and at the last second, it went across the plate. Strike one. So I knew that baseball was not going to be my future. But when I met the great Morgan Wooten of high school basketball fame at the famed DeMatha Catholic High School in Hyattsville, Maryland, he coached 46 years there. Won 5 national championships, probably wow. Like 30-plus Catholic League championships over the 46 years that he was there. Only the third high school coach to go into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, principally and solely because of what he did at the high school level. He had the biggest impact, other than my parents, of building on what my parents, a mother and father, God bless them, my father, was a taxi cab driver part-time, a prison guard at a local prison. My mom was an excellent homemaker who raised the 5 of us kids, 4 boys. Mm. I was the oldest and the oldest and 1 girl. And her whole aim was to raise us properly. Even though we weren't born again at that time, we ultimately became born again because of the role that my mother played. And her whole focus was, whatever you do, you have excellence built into you. And she didn't know that from the Bible because we weren't saved then. But in a world that was challenging, she said it was academics, the excellence there that was going to set the stage for success in the game of life. Morgan Wooten, the great coach, built on that. I'll close with this point about Morgan Wooten. The 4 priorities, Zach, that he said that every athlete had to have playing for him, these priorities. God had to be number 1. Family was 2. School was 3. And then your sport, be it basketball, football, whatever. Those were the priorities. As youngsters, we just ate up everything that he said. But as I got older and became saved, born again, I realized I got a chance to do a 60 Minutes sports story profile of Morgan Wootten. And I asked him a question that I already knew the answer to them. I said, Coach, why in the world was God the number one element in your coaching basketball? What does that have to do with it? He said, everything. Because if I had a young man, it was an all-boys school then. If I had a young man who had God as number one in his life, I knew I had a champion in the game of life. And teaching basketball was going to be easy. I'll handle that part and impart all of the proper techniques, fundamentals that you need to have. And he is one of the greatest motivators I have ever met, including the likes of Red Auerbach of Boston Celtics fame, John Wooden of UCLA fame, John Thompson from Georgetown. Wow. He was masterful, and he never, ever, like Coach Tony Dungy, Joe Gibbs, Tom Landry, never uttered a profanity ever. He spoke that which he believed.
Come on. I heard Harold Reynolds once interview Derek Jeter, who was one of my favorites. I played baseball, college baseball at Liberty University for 4 years, and I'll never forget what Derek said. And Harold said, what makes you so great? He said, my greatest fear in life is being unprepared. And what he was saying was the process is the product. You know, the separation is in the preparation, just like you're trying to help us understand that component, JB. But now I want to talk about faith, because I've heard you share in those interviews that that was a season of your life that God really began to reveal himself to you, reveal the character of his heart to you in the midst of those powerless moments. And JB, I've heard you say that you knew of God up to that point, but you didn't know him personally. And so what I would ask is, I'll never forget a pastor sharing with me one time, he was sharing the story that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Christ, who lived a sinless and blameless life, who died a substitutionary death in our place, who rose again 3 days later, defeating sin and defeating death so that we would simply have the opportunity of spending eternal life in his presence. But then he said this, caught us all dead in our tracks. He said, it matters not who I say that Jesus is, but what matters most is who you say that Jesus is. So JB, in your years of experience and growing intimately with God, who is Jesus to you today?
Jesus Christ is my all in all. I had to learn that anybody truly examining the Word of God, even if it is from the perspective of a cynic, to have the pursuit be, let me prove the Bible wrong, with an honest and genuine pursuit of that, will be convinced that the Word is exactly what it says it is. It is historically provable. It is spiritually transformable. It absolutely, if you print, when I was in the corporate environment at Xerox and Eastman Kodak, there are principles, worldly, secular principles, upon which we based our success. And all of that, similar to what Derek Jeter said, it's preparation, but mastering communication skills, your interpersonal skills, overcoming adversity and difficulties, having a good grasp of the King's English so as to be able to communicate, your powers of observation as you're sizing up customers in terms of how you're going to present your side of the story to get them to do business with you. All of that's important, but the foundation stones, no other foundation can be laid other than that which is Jesus Christ. And if you do that and put it to the test, you will be absolutely firmly committed. Early on, I'm a baby Christian at the church that I went to, Rhema Christian Center Church. The Bishop Clarence Givens, a former Tuskegee Airman, sold out for Christ, a brilliant man. He taught us the basics and the fundamentals. One of the first scriptures I grabbed a hold of, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. As you continue your study of the Word and renewing your mind to what is the best success platform to stand on, you will see other scriptures that embellish that. Psalm 32 and 7, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye, meaning his eye. Zach, who better to follow than he who sees the end from the beginning? Trust that, try it, test it out, and see what happens. And in every step along the way, challenges and difficulties, God never promised us a problem-free world. Jesus in the book of John said, no, I'm not praying that you to be taken out of the world. I will pray for you that you are in the world and execute the Great Commission. I will see you through all of those difficulties. That is what we need to understand. But when I hung on to those scriptures, those principles and precepts and tried them out, and even today, through all of this time, going through what the Word of God says, God is true. Colossians 3:23, before I go on the set, I will say, do all that I do, dedicate all that I do to the glory of God and not unto man. Those things bear fruit. And I would challenge anybody who is questioning, deciding, scratching their head, is it, can it be the way? Yes, try it first, because guess what? Your eternal life depends on choosing properly.
JB, thank you so much just for all that you do in the intersection of faith into the media and sports workplace. You are truly a blessing. I think of one word when I think of you. It's unashamed. You've won the Uncommon Award by Tony Dungy. You display your faith. You live it out on a daily basis. And for that, we are so grateful. And thank you for that message of hope, reminding people that hope is never lost. Sometimes it just needs to be redirected, because hope is a person and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. JB, James Brown, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for all the incredible work that you do, my friend.
Hey, Zach, I ran off of the mouth. This has been way too short. You've got to have me back. There's so much more. But you got me on an enthusiastic spiritual high. So I pray that there was some substance in there and I just didn't run off ad nauseum with nonsense. But I thank God for awesome resources, talent, and gifts like yours, Zach Clinton.
Thank you so much, James Brown. We love and appreciate you, my friend. And we will be watching you and tuning in every Sunday and all throughout the NFL season. Thank you again for your time. Wow, you guys, what an amazing man. You know, JB is so encouraging in the way that he explains preparation and net results that please and honor God in a high-performance world. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If you like today's program, be sure to follow my podcast. It's called Built Different, and you can access it wherever you find your podcasts. That's Built Different. We'll have extended bonus content with JB, Mr. James Brown of CBS Sports right there, so let's go deeper together. On behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, this is Zach Clinton, and we love being a part of your life.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wish they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.